Welcome to Middle School Matters podcast number 707. Don't steal the struggle. We're going to continue our ISTE conversation. We're going to have some jokes for your classroom. And we're going to have the wonderful and magnanimous Mr. Troy Patterson. So without further ado, here we go.
All right, welcome back to the show. I am Troy Patterson, and with me is the world's greatest co-show host, Mr. Sean McGurk. Hey, Sean, how are you?
Well, hello there. I'm well. How are you?
I am doing well. I am basically, we are not dealing with a bunch of smoke today, which I hear you guys are. But
oh, yes, 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 because Canada smokes a pack, we smoke a pack too.
Yeah, I heard it was that where you are is equivalent to smoking half a pack of cigarettes a day.
My comparisons are maybe a little different. I would say it's exactly like being in Sijiazhuang in the month of July.
Yeah.
But okay. It smells about the same.
I was going to say, and we talked pre-show, and the reference that you gave was like going to Beijing, and it's like, yeah, I remember that. And makes sense. Yeah.
Reminiscent of Beijing. It's a little worse than Beijing. It's more like Sijiazhuang. You weren't out there. Sijiazhuang is out in Hebei province. It's a little farther west.
Yeah.
And it's there's a constant haze and there's a grime on everything. And somebody around here posted the ash on their car. They have a black car and there's white ash laying on the car that's dropping out of the sky.
Wow.
From the wildfires. I have not noticed the ash on my truck. I'm sure it's there, but I've been out in it. And those of you who are familiar with Abitibi, they process wood pulp into
plywood.
Plywood. Thank you. Yes. it's going to be an interesting day because I have no. My words have just been escaping me today. and if you were ever in Alpena, you remember the smell of the Abitibi plant. Once that wind was blowing off the lake and into town, and it's just a hint of Abitibi plant right now out there, coming from the smoke fires from Canada. So yeah, no, Canada has a smoking problem.
Yes, we saw a little bit of it the other day, but not nearly as bad as what you're describing. Because obviously Maine is also close to Canada.
It is very close.
So, and the jet stream is similar. a lot of times the jet stream goes, the jet stream for what you guys get goes slightly to our south, but, you know, sometimes not. So
yeah, usually I can tell you what your weather's going to be in about a day in advance.
Yeah. All right. Hey, what do you call corn that joins the army?
Corn that joins the army? I don't know.
Colonel.
Oh.
An officer and a gentleman.
Yeah.
Nuclear physicist, when they go out for lunch, what do they have?
Nuclear physicist going out for, I don't know. What do they have?
Fish and chips.
Oh, mm-hmm. I see what you did there. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You can never chew those apart.
No. No. Here's a nice little logic system for you.
Okay.
They say revenge is a dish best served cold.
Yep.
Like they also say that revenge is sweet.
Not like salted barchi, but yes.
Thus, revenge is ice cream.
Oh, I'm for it. Let's do it.
Okay. Let's pause the show. Go get some ice cream.
So just to make the first rat hole of the show, that has been a meme this week in Michigan where everybody's been saying, see, salad will kill you.
Go get yeah. I saw, I've seen, what, Like people saying, who knew that my diet of all donuts was going to be the healthier right. choice? So, yeah. Yeah, you guys are still dealing with that. So,
there's one more that's running through. I don't know how pervasive it is, but you're familiar with the Pure Michigan ads, right?
Yes.
Well, there's a parody on the Pure Michigan ads. There's the showing the red sun through the haze, and it says extreme heat, which we've had extreme heat, smoke, and explosive diarrhea, lettuce diarrhea, and then underneath it says Pure Michigan.
Pure Michigan.
This there week, you go. That's the way it's been.
Yeah. All right. What happens if you get bitten by a radioactive lawyer?
Boy, it sounds like there should be a Spider-Man reference in there somewhere. A radioactive kind of. Lawyer. I don't know.
Yeah. You end up with the power of attorney.
Oh.
Mm.
Ooh. Yeah.
All right. I have a few visual jokes for you this week as well. So you need to head over to middleschoolmatters.com. And one of them is, I will describe one of them. There's a guy who's skydiving. And he's got his phone out. Like, we have our phones everywhere we go, right? And the little bubble says, to open parachute, scan our QR code, download our app, create an account, set up a username and password, then log into our ...
That's pretty good.
It's like, yeah, it's like everything that we do now is like start, download the app, create an account. And it's like, no, I just want to do this thing. That's all. So,
Alan November did a presentation, and I forget where it was. If it was in ISTE or if it was it was in Colorado, it could have been NMSA. Alan November, November Learning.
I'm just thinking, golly, I haven't heard from Alan November in like years and years. And
yeah, and he had a Japanese student on via teleconferencing, which was a huge thing back then. And they were talking about the role of the cell phone in her life. And she said, if I don't have my cell phone, it's like losing a big part of my brain. Mm-hmm. And I think it's become a bigger part of our brains over the years since.
Yeah. And I think that, and we're going to talk a little later about some of the changes that are going on, but it's like, that is definitely a change, and it's one of the reasons that I think we're seeing so much kickback right now with parents going, we want schools to be screen free, and I think what they really want is not necessarily schools to be screen free, but I think schools are the place that they can point to someone else to enforce this for me, will you please? So Yeah, you know, that's just the way it is. All right, this week, have you heard of high-stakes testing, Sean?
Well, during the summertime, it's either ribeye, eye of round, can't afford T-bone anymore, that kind of stakes testing, yes.
Okay. And do you cook on an elevated grill so that it's high stakes, or?
I've not tried that, but that's a pretty good idea. I think that's. I will do that next week.
Okay, there's your assignment, your homework assignment for the week is. Mm-hmm. Okay. However, Dave Bidlowski, the mm-hmm. wonderful Dave Bidlowski, has a little different twist on this as far as high stakes testing. And he's going to talk about the intentional consequences of high stake testing. on science, and what are some of the things that you can do to build science efficacy and increase achievement for all content. So here, without further ado, is the wonderful Mr. Dave Bidlowski in the Middle School Science Minute.
Hi, this is Dave Bidlowski of K12Science.net, and this is your K-12 Science Podcast. I was recently reading the May-June 2026 issue of ScienceScope, a publication of the National Science Teaching Association for middle school science teachers. And I read the section, Leadership Matters, written by Amy Beacons. And her article was entitled, The Unintentional Consequences of High-Stakes Testing on Middle School Science. And she said that math and English can receive more instructional time and emphasis in middle and elementary schools, taking time and priority away from science to ensure that students have more exposure to areas that are more heavily assessed. Limiting science content and access has powerful implications for students' failures, especially for underrepresented groups. Leaders should provide more cross-curricular instruction and opportunities in science to increase achievement and provide more equitable access to scientific fields. She went on to share recommendations for teachers, schools, districts, and state leadership. She said, science has the potential to support test scores in all subjects and can build interest and knowledge in students. Rather than continue to put an emphasis on the areas that are heavily tested, school personnel can use science to build not just scientific knowledge, but also incorporate literacy and numeracy to support cross-content skills. Some ways that leaders can build science efficacy and increase achievement for all contents is to 1. Incorporate more nonfiction texts, 2. Conduct experiments where students can practice mathematics skills such as graphing with real data. 3. Leverage each teacher's content expertise through cross-content teams and projects. And finally, 4. Encourage science to be an integral part of the curriculum. In terms of text, she said, nonfiction texts are most common on standardized assessments. Science is a key place to find and analyze nonfiction texts. Building this skill not only supports students on the test, but also can help students to be able to become critical thinkers, and not just literate, but science literate. In terms of incorporating math, science also naturally incorporates math. Conducting experiments where students are collecting and analyzing data provides context and meaning to what they are learning in their math class and can help students that are struggling with math. These experiences not only provide context and numbers, but it can also help with unit understanding and comprehension. Leaders can also leverage teachers' expertise to support cross-content teaching. They can create cross-content teams to leverage expertise across subjects, discuss best practices, and find creative ways to introduce students to complex texts and problems. Cross-curricular teams can also plan integrated units and projects to engage students and help create connections among subjects. School leaders and teachers should advocate for science to be a key part of middle school instruction. Science holds the potential to help shape minds, not just for the test, but for their future as well. The world today is filled with science misinformation, and having students that are science literate is critical for our society to be able to understand basic needs like medicine, health, and our changing world. And this has been your K-12 Science Podcast.
All right. Dave, also, you have a link in here as well for something that you're going to be doing and maybe others can participate or present at.
Yeah, Dave is part of the Metro Detroit Area Science Teachers Association. That would be Wayne, Oakland, and Macomb counties. And they host a conference every year in the fall, in October, and they are doing a call for speakers. You can also sign up and register for the event, but they're also doing a call for speakers. So there are links in the show notes. Obviously, they're saying that they want to want you to submit a proposal for review. I can tell you that there's a pretty good chance that that your presentation will get accepted. It looks good in your portfolio. You're helping out the community of learning, and you get a chance to meet Dave. I think that's one of the best benefits of the whole experience. Is
that does sound pretty cool.
Chat with Dave. Yeah,
He is awesome to talk to.
Yes.
And we do. I can't stress enough how much we appreciate his weekly submissions and portions of the show. It really is awesome, and we really do appreciate that. Conferences are good, and this is an affordable conference as well.
Yes. Yes, and they do good, very, very affordable. Yes.
This is a very affordable conference.
Yes, and they bring in, they'll have a few vendors there, especially if you're into rocks, and they'll do prize giveaways, door prizes, and they will have people there doing poster sessions, and so you can go and talk to some folks that are doing some things in the profession, and they had a couple other folks there as well with tables. They do a good job, so...
Absolutely. So yeah. Check that out if you are around, or if you're willing to be around Michigan around at that time.
And you know what? Even if travel, it's worth traveling for. Mm-hmm. So you don't have to be in Wayne County, Wayne, Oakland, or Macomb counties to come. But that's who they appeal to.
Right. And that's October 3rd, just... For
correct
reference.
By the way, I don't think we're going to have a show on October 3rd. Just let you know right now.
Good to know. It is funny. One of the people that Rosemary knows, they were going to Michigan for a wedding. And so Rosemary found out the wedding was like up in Troy. Oh, and okay. And they were flying into Detroit, and they're like, well, we'll take an Uber. Like, you might want to rent a car. Well, you know, and they're like, well, how far away? You might want to rent a car. And then they're like, well, we want to go see a Great Lake. Yeah, you're going to need a car.
Yep.
You know, the perception, geography can be tough. So.
Yeah, when I first joined Middle Talk. Somebody in South Carolina said, oh, you're in the same state as this other person. I said, yes. And they said, she's up in Sault Ste. Marie. I'm down by Detroit. And they said, oh, so that's drivable.
True.
Yes.
But it is drivable.
I can drive for 10 hours or 11 hours straight and still be in Michigan. And in South Carolina, that just blows their mind because it's a 3 or 4 hour crossing of the state.
Yeah,
you know, you're done.
And that, and apparently that's something that people coming from Europe really don't really get until they get here is how large land mass wise the United States is. So, so yeah. All right, you went to ISTE.
I did.
And you had a good time. You brought back tons of information. So, and I pretty rudely cut you off last week because, and now we're going to continue on. So, you've got some additional things that you're going to share that you learned or as part of ISTE or came from ISTE and all that good stuff. So,
yeah. So, if you are familiar, just as a refresher or a reminder, ISTE is now the International Society for Transforming Education. they changed their name because they're dropping the ASCD part, but they need to incorporate all the ASCD things. And now they're not just a technology group anymore, like the old National Educational Computing Conference. So they went, and they, and of course, brand changing is expensive. And so they're just going back to the original ISTE, but the T is going to change. We talked about that, you know. Mm-hmm. We dropped, or we spilled the tea on the on last week's show. So it's still ISTE, and they're still going to use the ASCD plus, or the ISTE plus ASCD logo for a while, and then they'll transition to just ISTE, like they were however many years ago, back before the plague. And by that, and I mean 2020 with the...
Yeah, part of that is interesting because it was always interesting that ISTE and ASCD combined, right?
Yeah.
Right. It was very, really fascinating, and I thought it was a great move by ISTE at the time to be able to incorporate more curriculum and more, like, traditional pedagogy in that. So it's interesting to see them kind of subsume ISTE. I mean, ISTE subsume ASCD. Because, I don't know, this may just be me, but like reputation-wise, it seemed like ASCD had the higher reputation-wise stuff. More.
Yeah, like professional reputation. Well, that, and there were more... There were more people involved in curriculum than there were involved in technology. Right. And I, however, ASCD had been declining in membership for a large number of years. I don't know exactly why. I'm not asking anybody to tell me either. But I do know they were in financial trouble. And ISTE seemed to be the one that... had the financial means to, quote-unquote, keep it going by bringing it in under their umbrella. And that's not the only thing that they've done. They also brought in EdSurge, right? EdSurge was a startup, and it was a weekly magazine at one time. And EdSurge was barely financially viable when it first started out. And then when we hit financial trouble in the country, EdSurge hit financial trouble as well. And ISTE came in and bailed them out, just made them part of ISTE. So ISTE, EdSurge, ASCD. And there's another organization, I can't remember off the top of my head, that was headed for bankruptcy. And ISTE came in and essentially bought them out and brought them in under their umbrella. And so they're becoming very much a very large educational clearinghouse. And ISTE dealt with the curricular side. Sorry, ASD dealt with the curricular side. ISTE dealt with the technology side. EdSurge profited off of the interactions between the two as a, you know, hey, we'll make our own news. And then the tech newsletter made money by just taking the stuff from ISTE's seal of approval process and publishing, hey, you know, we vetted these people and they're legit. They get the ISTE seal of quality and third party evaluation. And and then ISTE started ISTEU, which is now, I think, ISTE Academy. They rebranded that as well to bring in the ASCD side. So it used to be that you could get your tech coach, your tech leader badge or certification through ISTE. Well, now not only can you do that, you can do the tech leader, you can do the tech coach, and a tech teacher, but now you can do, ASCD is now part of that, and there's a curriculum piece in there. I just can't remember exactly what the name or the title is. And it's growing because Google is partnering with them to do their AI certification. It's not hard. It's also why it's probably free. I recommend you just go out and do it. Go get your little badge. I have the I've got my little tin star. As a matter of fact, it's in this bag down here by my feet. I should have dug that out before the show. But I've got my little tin star. I haven't finished all my courses yet. That doesn't matter. They lasered my name right into the star right then and there, because, you know, which I get a kick out of. ISTE is growing, I guess, to a large part. It's also one of the few conferences in the world that can get 15,000 people together in one place.
Right? Yeah. And see, for me, and this is just my personal, ISTE was, all for me, always seemed really, really tied into the vendors. Like, they really seemed like they were pushing some of the things that, like, the tech bros were saying. Like, I remember one of the things that just sticks with me, because it's one of the last ISTE conferences I went to, probably, was the whole Classroom of the Future, the ISTE Classroom of the Future. And it was all these things, and I was like, I don't know about this. But they were really pushing some of the – they were really pushing whiteboards, interactive whiteboards.
Yeah, like smart boards.
Like the Promethean – well, I think it was Promethean in particular. And they were pushing this classroom setup with multiple screens in it and little pods and all of these flexible seating things. And it's funny because I saw something the other day about going from traditional seating to flexible seating, and then everybody realizes what that means and they go back to traditional seating.
Yep.
You know, it's like, but it sounded so great. And there was just things about that that I was like, okay, this is not the way I really think this is going to play out. And maybe that's one reason that ISTE is financially successful, is because they're able to get money from a lot of these vendors. But I always looked at ISTE, for me, I like to go to ISTE like every few years. In part because I always had to pick, like, which you can only go to so many conferences as, you know, I wasn't a independently wealthy teacher, like a certain co-show host.
What? Who? We have another co-show host? Who? Who's that?
So,
me.
Yeah. So anyway, so I like to go to ISTE every few years just to see the trends. And I would talk to people that, like, love to go to ISTE every year. And that might be you, by the way, as well. But it just didn't work out as well for me, because it was like, I just see all these things that I don't think are going to really play out. And it worries me. But I did like to go every once in a while to see the trends and what was happening. So
it's interesting to bring that up, because there's a WhatsApp group, and it is people that go to ISTE every year.
Mm-hmm.
I joined it the first year that the group formed, and it's centered around this tech coach in England, Abed. And Abed was heavily into social media, and he made a dare or a challenge or something that he could get a picture with Richard Collada up on stage.
Okay.
And he did. He invited him up, and they did the social media thing up on stage. And of course it went viral. And of course ISTE uses it like crazy to help promote the organization.
Smart.
And kudos. Smart move. Mm-hmm. It's beautiful, right? But now there's this whole WhatsApp group, which is helpful, right? Because they talk throughout the year, and you find out what's going on, and you find out like some cool things that are going on. But they'll also get together and they'll say, hey, I'm doing a run over to Disney Springs. Anybody want to go with me? And there's absolute strangers that go, yeah, at Disney Springs sounds great tonight. I'll go. And then there was me going, What's a Disney Springs? I don't know. Because it's not a regular Disney, apparently. Apparently, it's just shops and foods and stuff. So that's okay. I didn't go. I didn't need to buy the extra or pay the extra money for a Mouseketeer ice cream bar. But the other thing is that you find out where the ice cream socials are because they run an ice cream social and they'll pick a place and they'll do an ice cream social. You show up, yeah. You buy your own ice cream and you hang out with people who are like you. Or you'll find out that a certain company is hosting an event over there and here's how you register for the event and you can go get a free dinner. And you can find all kinds of cool things going through this WhatsApp group started by Stephanie, by the way. You have to be approved. Stephanie has to let you in. And once you're in, though, you get all kinds of cool information. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it's fun. And I don't chat a lot. Like, there's people in the chat all the time. And they know each other. They meet up. There were meetups. Abed came in a day early, and he just went to the conference area early. And he's just walking up and down the halls, right? And he's taking pictures. And I would say, I'm in the hall, find me. And people would. And you just get up and talk. You get together and talk, right? And finally meet Abed. But he's also getting his picture taken by the ISTE crew as part of the promotional thing. And his gathering people put more people around the signage where they could get the pictures that they needed for promotional materials, which is perfect. And again, it's a nice symbiotic relationship. But if you didn't know about the WhatsApp group, your conference experience was definitely different. I'm not saying it was better. I'm not saying it was worse. I'm just saying it was different. Right. If you were trying to get to the ice cream social without knowing about it on the WhatsApp, you wouldn't know, first of all, where it is. But second of all, I mean, the number of people that go wherever they go, it will limit out the allowed number of people in the establishment. And so if you went there just to get ice cream, you didn't know about the event, you weren't getting ice cream that night. No, it doesn't last forever, right? But some of the places, like Senior Frogs, I think was shut down for a night because a company brought in or just saved the whole thing and just brought teachers in. And
sure.
It was Senior Frogs is a Mexican buffet type of thing. So they basically bought all these people a buffet dinner, right? And then you heard their speech and did their thing. And I did not go to Senior Frogs. I went next door to Boston something, and I had the seafood bar, which is, that's all it is a seafood bar. They bring you a stack of napkins. It's about 3 inches thick. And you look at it like, I don't think I need that many. And you realize, oh, no. They shorted you. You're going to ask for more. They should have just brought you a roll. It was good. It was delicious. You go out and get one lobster at a time. And there was somebody there obviously doing a challenge because there was other people around laughing. He would go up and get another one. And the next thing you know, he's had like 12 or 13. They bring you a bowl, right? It's not just, I mean, it's like a huge bowl to put in the shells and the detritus from eating. And he had gone through like 3 bowls that they had taken away. Everybody's like, yeah, go get another one. Yeah. And he was loving it. Just eating it up. No pun intended. So yeah, it was a lot of fun. And of course I digress here. If I keep doing this, we'll have another show that lasts 2 hours.
well, yeah.
But by and large, it was good. It was hot. I never thought I would go to Florida and to escape the Michigan heat, but it happened. And it wasn't too bad. It rained every day, like it does in Florida. And once it was done, yes, it was humid, but the air was a lot cooler. And, you know, you go out and do things. I did. I walked up and down International Drive just to people watch.
Oh, hold on. I don't know if it's me or if it's you, but you Cylon'd out there. Oh. Hang on, I'm a hip. All right, we had a little audio glitch there, which I don't know. We'll see if I can pull out of the show or not. I don't know. But we're back, and you were discussing your wonderful experience in Florida. So,
International Drive is a pretty popular place just to walk up and down, and people watch. And there's the volcano launcher where you go in a chair and they put you down in a quote unquote volcano. Then they launch you about 300 feet into the air, strapped in a what looks like one of those baby chairs from with a slide bar that you'll feed a baby mm-hmm. in. Yeah, and then they launch you 300 feet into the air, and you bounce up and down, and
okay.
There's that. So, and then there's some other things, but I found the Haagen-Dazs ice cream place, and would walk back and forth and grab a little Haagen-Dazs, and just walk up and down I Drive. Did not go over to Raising Cane's like I thought I was going to, but Raising Cane's is over there too. There's a lot of really cool things to watch and do. On iDrive. So, but if you don't know about the WhatsApp group, then it definitely changes some of the after hours programming stuff that you could do. That's just, you know, what the participants put together. It's not part of ISTE itself. Yep. So, yeah. But that's right. Probably not why you listen to the show today. So let's talk about some other things.
So you got books to read. I think that, you have Inclusive 52, Executive Functioning, and I think you've been doing a lot with this. So
one of the things I've been so that book came out on the 22nd, and if you pre-ordered this book, it's an ISTE published book. If you pre-ordered this book, then you were informed that your overnight promise of delivery, so that you would have it in time for the conference, was a lie. Because I pre-ordered it, and I said, I'm going to read it on the plane, and I'm going to go to this session, and I'm going to get some ideas for teaching executive functioning to my kids, because that's definitely a hallmark of seventh grade, right?
Right.
And so the 22nd came, and it said, your book is shipped. And I was like, yes, I'll have it here by the 23rd, because they promised overnight shipping, and it's going to be great. And it said, your book will arrive July 9th. Like, no, this is not what you promised when I ordered it. But I got to the conference, and they had lots of books. So I said, all right, I can use the second copy. I'll get a second copy, and I'll give my July 9th copy to a teammate. And it's got lots of good ideas and good suggestions in there. But it's how to use technology to meet those needs to teach kids to do executive functioning. The first section is what the teacher can do. And yes, it is all about classroom furniture arrangement, which of course I looked at and I laughed and laughed because, you know, we've heard this story, that song and dance. I think, so going back to our ASCD conversation, I think one of the things that ASCD, one of the problems that they've had is that they've jumped on the bandwagon of some of the things that have been popular in education. And then later on you stop and go, so we might've been wrong about that. Let's stop doing that. And so there was enough of that. I think people were like, you know, I think we're good. You guys keep doing your thing, but you can do it without me. But I think, and we'll get more into that later, but, so ASCD had these books shipped right to you, and then whatever books were left over, those are the ones that went out too, if you pre-ordered it. So it's been good because I've been using that to start building in some advisory curriculum ideas for teaching my seventh graders executive functioning skills at the beginning of the year to help them be more successful throughout the year. And I think a lot of what we're going to have to do is starting to teach executive functioning skills when it comes to AI literacy, especially with a number of the AI literacy things that we've seen, or I saw at ISTE this year. Now, when I talked about the ASCD articles, I didn't realize it was going to be this soon. I apologize. So ASCD has, that over the course of their lifetime, has had hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of articles, research papers, all the things connected to supervision and curriculum development. They have a huge bank of knowledge. And ISTE has hundreds and hundreds of articles and books and resources in their knowledge base. And if you combine those two, you would have a really good body of knowledge or a good knowledge base that you could train an AI on. Would you agree?
I would agree.
Okay. I want to make sure that this has been Troy researched
with,
and
with some caveats. Yes,
so, Troy fact checked and Troy approved. And so ISTE has launched a new piece to their program. It's called Stretch AI. Mm-hmm. And Stretch AI is a membership AI. If you're a basic member, you'll have access until September, and then you lose. But if you're a enhanced...
yes, okay.
Your basic memberships are losers. But if you're enhanced or pro, whatever the top level is, you get access to Stretch AI. And Stretch AI is designed strictly to be a curriculum and development artificial intelligence.
Okay.
And you can mine all of the past ASCD and ISTE research as part of that knowledge base to help you build things. It's going to say, do you want to build a lesson? Do you want to, what do you want to do? Now, I tested it out, right? And I'd asked it certain things, like, I want to find out how deep this knowledge base goes. Well, it goes up to 2024. Well, that's pretty good. Especially, but I think it's still like, it's got some growing yet to do because it doesn't, it has a few 2025 things, but it doesn't have, or it didn't have anything in 2026 when I was poking around asking it questions. I do think it's ironic because Inclusive 52 just came out and it should be something that should be like in that base of knowledge so that people can start using that to help developing and using the ideas in the book to apply it to their classroom. The irony is that when I asked it about it, it was like, yeah, I've never heard of that book. Oh, nuts. That's too bad. I went to ChatGPT and I said, have you heard about this book? And it's like, yeah, it's a cool book, isn't it? Yeah, it's a cool book. So tell me, what are the 52 things? Well, the book is not published and I haven't read it, but here's the 52 things. And as I'm flipping through the yep, those
like
are the
that.
52 things. And then I said, hey, ChatGPT, can you help me with those 52 things? And it's like, yeah, sure, let's build something. What do you want to do? Let's make it happen. And Stretch AI is like, yeah, I don't know if those, you're going to have to tell me what they are and then I can help you. So what I did was to start building these activities. And I said, I told ChatGPT, we're going to do it in 20 minute increments. So if this activity lasts longer than 20 minutes, then you got to build another 20 minute activity because we're going to do it in blocks of 20 for advisory. And ChatGPT said, yes, I got it. I can do that. I told that to Stretch AI and it was like, oh, yeah. You know, 20 minutes really isn't a good time length for a good lesson. It really should be done in a 50-minute block. It's like, no, some of these will not take 50 minutes. I promise you they won't. But it couldn't get past that 50-minute limit, right? Imagine if you're a middle school teacher and you're doing a ABCD schedule and your principal lets you do, like, 90-minute flexible blocks.
Yes.
Yeah, but if you're going to go into Stretch AI and say I'm doing a 90-minute flexible block, and I need something for give me an idea for a time frame, Stretch AI is going to do a little bit of struggling with that and pulling that together. It's going to understand it. It's just not wanting to implement or put that into. It doesn't like it. It feels uncomfortable, and that's why I say I think this really isn't fully developed yet. It's also by invitation. And so if you want to get into Stretch AI, you might be an enhanced member. But if you don't apply to get in, then you can't get in and start using the AI. And they didn't tell us that at the conference. They just said it's available for us to use. So I went in and I applied. I had to found out where to apply, and I applied. And it took me 24 hours, but I got in. And that's when I could start playing with it.
Okay.
All right, but how did I use it? Well, here's how I used it. I'm so glad you asked, Troy. Here's how I used it. I went.
How did you use this, Sean?
Oh, I never thought you'd ask. So I went into Stretch AI, and I said, I am looking for the research. You know, I want the research documents that support, and I would put in the executive functioning idea that I was calendars. Students using calendars to grow their executive functioning skills. I need the research that supports that from ASCD and ISTE. And it was like, oh, yeah, I know where that is. You know what? I'm going to go get that for you. I said, do that. Give me the URLs of their articles and give me a bibliography in MLA format. And Stretch was like, yeah, I got this. Yeah, this sounds like fun. And it ran out and it did it. And it came back and it gave me about 15 things to look at. I was like, oh, this is good. And I started looking at the articles. And it's like, oh, these are on. Oh, this is. So I copied that. And I went over to ChatGPT and I said, hey, our buddy Stretch found these things to help us support looking at building this executive functioning lesson. I want you to do that. I want you to build me a lesson. I want you to look at these sources and see what we can use to work it into our lesson to help kids understand executive functioning skills for using calendars. And ChatGPT was like, oh, this is good. Yeah, I can do that. And then it explained to me how it worked it in, right? And it helped me. It gave me an output, and I went through and I edited, and I said, I like this. I don't like this. I like this. I don't like this. I said, let's revise this. And then with all that revision process going on, got down to the end, and I had something that I liked. And then I pushed that out into a document. I put that into a folder over in our team folder on my drive, in Google Drive, district drive. And now I've built out a series of, I think I'm up to 17 or 18 lessons that teach kids executive functioning skills. And each one I can do on Monday, and they can practice it throughout the week. Do they have to stick with it? If it doesn't work for them, that's fine. I'm going to teach another one next Monday anyway. But if they find one that works, then they can stick with it and go, I'm going to keep using this one. And I'll support them on that. I'll say, you keep using that. I want you to try this one too. Because you know what? It might be better for you. But I want you to keep trying it. Keep doing it. So I've got about 18 of those. So Stretch AI has been great for mining all that ASCD articles and data that has been that corpus of knowledge that it's built up for all the years that ASCD has been around.
It's interesting that it goes to 2024. That kind of fascinates me.
Yeah, I don't know if that's because they just haven't mined their data. Like, there are pieces of this that are not fully developed yet.
Apparently, because that seems like an older model for creating the interface and the resources in the first place. It seems like most of the foundational models have moved beyond that system. And then, I don't know what their back end looks like, but they have access to all of the material, right?
Right, yes.
They have access to it. I'm presuming when they purchased ASCD, they got lock, stock, and barrel sort of thing. Correct. So they would have all of that. And I understand the back ends and integrating back ends can be way harder than you think it is. But if they were able to do to 24, why were they not able to essentially go up to something even more recent? Because that's where that power would be with the addition of the new learnings. So
there's a couple things. First of all, I think they're using an open source AI model. There's a couple downfalls to this. if I asked it just generic questions like asking about it and its capabilities, so what, the cool thing is that it'll cite you the sources down underneath. But if you're asking like generic questions like, you know, I'm trying to figure out what your capabilities are, it gave me sources at the bottom. And I'm like, those sources have absolutely nothing to do with what we're talking about. But it had to put sources, so it put sources.
Right, right.
Yeah, so that's why you have to check the source material on whatever it gives you. The second thing is, and I like this idea, it says, let me help you build a lesson. But if I want to take a lesson and I want to put it in and say, I got this, I don't know what I don't know, let's you and I work together as a teaching assistant or as a coach, because what they want this to be is they want this to be a teacher coach. Coach me through this lesson. And what am I missing and what do I need to, how can I make this lesson better? But you're stuck at 2,000 character limit in the prompt box and you can't drag a document in for it to evaluate. And so you're kind of stuck when it comes to doing that direct one-to-one comparison analysis stuff, having it be a true lab assistant or teaching assistant or thought partner. And so I think its strength is mining back data, not necessarily in the creation part yet. And I think that's also why it's by invitation, because they're sure. asking people to come in and do things. And I think in that process, they're getting feedback, but they're also letting people break things, right? The other thing is that sure. if you want to...
No, go ahead. I mean, sure, because when you're developing something in their early stages, you don't want to overwhelm the entire system, and you also don't want everybody to have a really bad experience, right? Because then the word gets out that this thing stinks and people aren't going to use it. It can mm-hmm. be hard to get over that.
Right.
It's just that their competition is, because look at what you did. It's like you went and you said, hey, do you know about this thing? And it's like, no. And you went, all right. Hey, Claude, do you know about this thing? Yes. Okay. So if you're a normal, excuse the expression here, but if you're a normal teacher, where are you going to go next time? Right? Where
right.
just why not just go to straight to Claude kind of thing, or ChatGPT, or you know, kind of whatever. So you know, they've got some competition-y things and some things to work out. And I get that's why it's in beta, but sure.
I also suspect that if you're able to go straight to Stretch and use the items that are inside Inclusive 52 or some other ISD, mm-hmm. ASCD published document, you won't buy the document or the book.
Right.
And they need their authors to have sales first, and then they can do stuff like this. So
and
I think that's another reason why.
That's one of the real challenges with AI right now, right? That's one of the fundamental challenges is what about the original source material? Why would you go buy the book if you can say, hey, you know, Jean-Paul Sartre, that's so I'm not picking a platform. You know, Jean-Paul, hey, what is 52? You know, what is the whole idea between Inclusive 52? And it gives you everything. Why read the book? And then you get in that cycle of if nobody's buying the book, then what's the possibility somebody's going to be writing a new book without just prompting it? Because mm-hmm. apparently there's a lot of new books out there because people are just, hey, Jean-Paul, write me a book. And it, you know, writes the book and they publish it through Amazon and away they go.
Right. Right. And I think this is also then guarantees their authors, not only do they get publicity and pushed out there and known, but they get paid. And I wonder if authors will start saying, look, I know what you're going to do. So what I want is I'll write the book and let you publish it, but then I want a royalty after that. And it doesn't have to be a royalty on the number of books sold. I want like a time royalty where this goes into your Stretch AI database.
Right.
And I'm going to get so much over the life of the database. It comes back to me as a kind of a perpetual royalty. That may be the way to go. And that may be the incentive to have people start writing things and publishing them again.
But that doesn't exist right now.
No, I'm brainstorming. I'm trying to figure out because the authors or the labor is worthy of his hire. And there's some cool stuff out there. I think of Matt Miller. Matt Miller publishes books like crazy, and he's basing it just on his own classroom experience. And he's a brilliant guy. Mm-hmm. He's really smart. And he just published a book on AI and AI literacy. And one of the first things he admits is, I absolutely used AI to help me build this book. But I think it's so necessary and needy right now. And he's absolutely right. But it's a fusion of his ideas and then the AI assistant saying, here, let me just fill in the boilerplate stuff that everybody needs to hear, but is, it's boring to write. I get it. I get it. I absolutely get it. Now, that being said, I did use Stretch AI a little controversially.
Okay.
So, do you remember Grant Wiggins?
I do.
I
read lots of Grant Wiggins stuff.
Okay.
Wiggins and Stiggins.
Yep, that's right. So Grant Wiggins, before he passed away, said posting objectives and ICANN statements on the board is a waste of teacher time and valuable board space.
And part of our teacher evaluation program in our school improvement plan.
So I went to Stretch AI and I said, if anybody's going to have something on this, Stretch AI is going to have it because they've got all the articles and things on it. And I said, I think Grant Wiggins was right. He said that posting objectives, posting all the stuff on the board was a waste of time. Find me research that supports this argument in your corpus of knowledge. And Stretch AI said, yeah, I can do that. And it came back and the first thing it said was, Grant Wiggins was right. And then it gave me a whole corpus of knowledge of things that supported what Grant was saying. But there are administrators out there who obviously have not or have chosen not to share this piece with anybody, saying, mm-hmm. Nope, you got to post your things. Well, and it turns out a lot of the knowledge base, a lot of the things that came back says, this is basically just so that administrators have something to evaluate teachers on. And I said, all right, Stretch, based on this article, these articles that you gave me, could you tell me what are ways that I could still do the things like, an ICANN statement without doing an ICANN statement? Can it be done? Is there a teaching way that I could teach without using the ICANN statement that is more effective? And it came back and it said, yeah. Matter of fact, it gave me, and it was like five different ways. So if you do these things, you're actually more effective than if you put the thing up on the board. I was like, funny. Nobody's mentioned that in any of our PDs.
Yeah.
And so I think it's interesting mining all of that research data, because one of the things that I was told when I was in college a lot of years ago was that the research is 10 years ahead of the practice. And this may be a way where we close that gap between research and practice and get us closer to what research is now saying, hey, this works, or hey, stop doing it. This does not work. So maybe we're closing that gap, and Stretch AI may be something that helps us do that.
Could be. And like I still think that we are really, really, really trying to figure out what AI is and it was going to be. And I can see where it could be very useful. It's like a stretch AI kind of thing where your corpus, where you're, what you're pulling from is very well known and very discreet, could be really useful. But it's it'll be interesting to see how people use it. So
yes, and if you're a teacher out there looking for a job, one of the things that interviewers are doing is they're asking you to show them your agents, which is the AI thing. And I would make Stretch one of my agents. I wouldn't make it my only agent. I wouldn't make it my first agent. But I would count Stretch as one of my agents and show that off if I was doing a job interview these days. And they said, hey, show us what agents you use or what agents you've built to help you do this job. I would do that. All right. Really quick. Keynotes. Because one of the things I've complained about ISTE in the past is that the keynotes have been awful. Like when they brought in the brought in the president of the IMF and had him sit down and tell us teachers about teaching, the backlash on social media was scathing. And it was a word salad. He said a lot of words and in the process said nothing. The keynotes weren't awful. They weren't great. The last keynote was a creator from Pixar.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Yeah. And the first slide on her presentation was, you can't record this and you can't take any pictures.
Yeah.
Because it's proprietary.
That's interesting. So even what was she talking about that even the pictures of what she was talking about were proprietary?
Well, it wasn't anything that hasn't come out yet. But she's the one who did a lot of the artwork on Inside Out and a lot of the Pixar movies. She's the one who creates the – it's what she does is she sits and she draws all day. And she does little. Yeah. And that's what she does is just draws. And, of course, all the things she put up there are her drawings, and but they're owned by Pixar. And so you can't
okay. –
the things you could do with the pictures is then you could rip the things off and you start using it for your own whatevers. And Pixar didn't want her to have us do that. The irony is that ISTE recorded the session, and so there's some of the things you can see in that recording. So, you know, we'll see what happens. But she talked about the creative process and the importance of the creative process in what she does each and every day. And I thought that was a pretty good, it was a pretty good keynote. I'm going to have to go look at it again for some of the other details. But I thought she gave a really good, but she talked about the importance of the human factor in all of that creative and learning process. And essentially came down to don't steal the struggle. The struggle and the work is the key factor in producing a good outcome. It could be the drawing. It could be a movie. It could be whatever she's working on. But you you have to sit down and you have to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Don't steal the struggle. So really quick, I will shoot through some of the things because I know we're coming up on Dr. Tatum's. limit for his listening capacity for our show.
Yes.
Note taking. So in my backpack, I discovered that my backpack has a black hole. I lost a chubby cable somewhere down in the bottom of my backpack and I didn't find it at the end of ISTE. And I also lost my Apple Pencil. It was in my bag and I knew exactly where it was, right? It was right there in that holder. And when I went to go and pull out my iPad and start out my note thing, my notability on my iPad, could not find the pencil to save my life. Was nowhere to be found. And so I pulled out paper and pen, and I started taking notes using paper and pen. And I used Notability to record the audio so I could transcribe it later, because there's no way I was going to keep a pencil and pen, or paper and pen.
Paper.
I did. Yeah. I ended up keeping up very well with paper and pen. Matter of fact, I remember more by using the paper and pen than I do when I'm using the Apple Pencil and doing notes on that Notability. So I think I'm going to go back to paper.
That is interesting.
Yeah. I'm going to go back to paper. And then Apple Notes was super helpful. One of the 30-minute talks that they do, tech talks.
Yeah.
I slipped in and I pulled out my iPad, and I told the iPad Apple Notes. I said, "Here, this is a voice note." So I clicked on the microphone, and I'm just sitting there because I can't write. The chairs are not designed for me to take paper notes. So I'm just listening, trying to take in everything this guy's talking about AI. And the host, he's part of the WhatsApp chat. The host comes over and his seat is next to mine. He sees what I'm doing, leans over, grabs my shoulder and says, "Ah, that's brilliant. That's so cool." I was like, "Yeah, thanks."
Yeah.
And in my Apple Notes, it says, "Oh, that's cool. That's brilliant."
That's going to say.
Yeah, like, dude, you're kind of ruining the whole purpose of me doing this.
And by the way, shut up.
Yeah. Thank you for contributing. But the nice thing about it was then I could take that transcript and I went into and I took all my transcripts, right, by doing it that way. And I could put it into Notebook LM, and I took my other notes and I put all my notes into Notebook LM. And then I produced a Middle School Matters length podcast on my conference at ISTE, and I sent it to my curriculum director.
Okay.
Because he still hasn't approved my paperwork to attend that conference.
Just okay. Yeah.
So, you know, I'm hoping he gets something out of it. He's not getting the full thing out of it because Notebook, you know, LM is going to, it's going
right.
to pick and choose, and he's not going to get everything out of it. But I want him to know that I went to a conference. So the notes went great. I'm definitely going back to best comment of the conference. You'll love this, Troy.
Okay.
Best comment is the guy sitting to my right, and he gets up at the end. He goes, "I want to say, I love your handwriting." I was writing in cursive.
Excellent.
And the lady to my left goes, "Oh, I've been watching you write and it's so nice." I said, "Thank you." And then the guy on the right turns and says, "I can't read a single thing you wrote, but I love it."
That's good.
And then he says, "You should write the Declaration of Independence or the Constitution." I was like, "Thanks.
Thanks."
Only my elementary teachers could find that out. I see cursive, by the way. I very much see cursive. But no, you wait 30, 40 years, and the next thing you know, it's not see cursive anymore. Made a packing music song through Suno. I'm going to put that in the show notes. Two interesting pieces of technology. I think we'll talk more about this in the next show.
Yep.
iPivo has a new camera. It's a pen-style camera. It won Best of Show in the exhibit hall. Gradebox is a new technology coming out that I'm going to play with, and I will share as we get into the school year. But I want to introduce it to you guys because I think it could be a useful tool, especially with middle school learners. And then I put a link in the show notes to the Executive 2 Executive Functioning Weekly Strategies to Help Learners Thrive. That's in the show notes as well. And I think we could use AI to build out the strategies in the text. It's given me a couple of good ideas. I'll talk about in the next show.
I was going to say, is that something that you're going to be willing to share, or is that something that is like,
sure, you feel in fact, going to be... maybe I'll link the folder and we'll share.
We'll talk later.
We'll talk later. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
So we'll continue the discussion because we have tons of stuff still left. It's summertime. And we have tons of stuff. That's good. Because usually in the summer, things get pretty light as far as resources that we find in that But you've got a bunch of stuff, and I've got a couple of things. So I guess we'll have to do this again maybe next week. Are we doing this again next week?
Probably next week. Depends on my sister. But yes, maybe.
All right. Or the week so after. We'll have to do this again maybe next week. In the meantime, we would love to hear from you, listener. Head on over to middleschoolmatters.com. There's a link there where you can reach out to us. And, of course, we'd love if you'd share the show with other folks who might be interested. And we would love it if you would go to the podcast catcher of your choice, give us a 5-star rating, tell us why Sean is the world's greatest co-show host. And we'd love to hear your feedback. So with that, this has been Middle School Matters for middle school educators who care. All opinions expressed on this podcast are exclusively the opinions of the host and guest and not indicative of any employer.